I've been in touch with Ulster Bank on a regular basis, Stephen. I think that they're highly embarrassed, and so they should be, about the situation. It's the latest update I had from them yesterday that it's likely to be next week before they get the backlog of the transactions entered onto the system. That means people are now, we're not coming to the end of the month, that people's pay will be coming through. It'll not be getting into their accounts, and that leaves a particular problem. It leaves a problem for bodies like LPS, which is part of my department. Direct debits, which come out at the end of the month for rate payments, will not be able to be taken out either. And, you know, this is chaos.
Do you think the management team, the local management team here, have delivered for the people of Northern Ireland? Stood up tall, you know, been seen, get out there, work, fight for the people of Northern Ireland?
Well, you know, I've spoken to the management team in Ulster Bank. They're as embarrassed about this, I suppose, as anybody else is. They're as powerless, it appears, in all of this, because this is a technical issue which the technicians have to get fixed. Could they have responded better by opening banks longer, by having more banks open so that the manual transactions could have been carried out? Could they have responded quicker and informed people that there were ways of getting money out of the bank by coming with evidence that payments had gone in, and therefore some money could be given out on the basis of that? Probably, yes, the answer is yes. And if this situation is going to drag on to next week, then the message I have given to them is that they've got to facilitate customers in every way possible.
You've got the Northern Bank taking out full-page ads, essentially, saying here's how easy it is to switch your account. Do you think the Ulster Bank will lose significant revenue out of this, that customers will just walk when they eventually get access to their money?
Well, I've got to say, I've already said this to them, if the reaction I'm getting from people who are contacting me, if anything to go by, the answer to that is yes, Stephen.
And what about the leadership that has been shown here? Have you got confidence in the... This is 84% state-owned. Have you confidence in that senior management team in terms of how they have behaved? Fine, there was a technical problem. Has there been senior leadership shining in glory here during this?
Well you know, as I've said, I think that at an earlier stage, they could have made it known to people how they can access money manually. They could have made it easier for people to do so. I mean, there was a limited number of branches that opened over the weekend and for a limited time.
During this whole debacle, for day after day, there were statements coming in. And as I was saying, they might as well have been from Kurdistan. There was no local voice for many, many days. The Ulster Bank might as well have been the Bank of Yugoslavia.
I suppose they could have put their main people forward and been available much more for the media to interrogate them.
And finally, Minister, is there anything government can do? Your department, for example, presumably, nobody's going to get threatening letters from any government departments if payments aren't made, because you'll understand what's happening here.
No, they're not. And in fact, Stephen, and I hope to have an opportunity later on today to make a statement as far as LPS is concerned. We will not be sending out threats.
This is Land and Property Services. This is our rates, right?
Who catch the rates. We'll not be sending out proper threatening letters. What we'll be doing is we want to inform people that it's most unlikely that the rates will be taken out of their account this month. That means it'll be a double amount taken out next month if the situation's sorted out. But if people have difficulty as a result of that, then we will make it available to them to come and make arrangements with us to pay if there's been that month backlog and they can't afford 2 months at once. So, I mean, rather than threatening people, we want to facilitate them. We will be warning them that their payment will not come out this month. 2 payments will come out next month. And if that creates difficulties for them, we will find a way of accommodating them.
If you were...
I don't think that it's not our job to penalise people for things which are beyond their control. That's the role that we can play in this. And I've also been saying to Ulster Bank that if people do get a black mark against them with credit ratings because payments have not come out. And that is likely then to affect their future credit. But I'm expecting Ulster Bank to take the initiative and contact credit agencies and inform them that anyone who finds themselves in that situation it's been a result not of negligence on their part, but of a mistake on the bank's part. And my expectation is that Ulster Bank will make sure that no one is penalised in terms of future ability to get credit because of what has happened with the computer system.
If you were an Ulster Bank customer, would you walk?
I think that I would weigh up what the costs were of moving, whether or not there was likely to be a repeat of this. I mean, glitches can happen with computers, but I think that I'd be looking at what service was given to me during the difficulties and what remedies Ulster Bank are taking before I'd make that decision. But I think that probably out of frustration, my immediate response would be to really want to stay with them. But I think that with consideration, I would weigh up a whole lot of factors before I move.
And just finally, Minister, while you're with us, Danny Kennedy, your colleague in government, was on the programme yesterday criticising your department over the flood line.
Stephen, I've always said I will never hide any failures within my department from the public. I'll never defend the indefensible. I actually was the person who put it out up front that we failed to respond to 75% of the calls which came to the department. That is not acceptable. There were exceptional circumstances. I'm not going to use those as an excuse. I have asked for a report on why we were not able to get people or sufficient people in on the basis of the contract we had for the flood helpline, why we couldn't get them in time, and what steps we're taking to make sure it doesn't happen again. I'm not defending that it was not a good result. People were left frustrated, and I'm not going to add to their frustration by starting to make excuses.
Yeah, so on this occasion, your department let people down?
On this occasion, we have a contract for a helpline. We had a helpline that people, when they were in distress, thought they, when they rang, they would get a response. 75% of them didn't even get through. That's a failure as far as I'm concerned, Stephen. There were mitigating circumstances, but I am not going to start going through those mitigating circumstances because I think that only adds to frustration. And I think people don't want excuses. They want to know what are we going to do to try and make sure it doesn't happen.
And what about the big question, finally? And it's not even a populist thing for me to suggest, but when you see the misery that is caused, and I was reading last night that it might take an extra £60 million a year more into upgrading the infrastructure every single year than what we currently allow for, and somebody's got to pay for that, and it's too simplistic just to put the pressure on you lot and say do it, somebody's got to pay for it. What about is it the right time for a mature debate for extra water charges?
Well, you know, I don't think that there's any question of having a decision on water charges. The executive has made a decision. We know water charges in this mandate, and we have to live with the consequences of that in terms of how we prioritise our capital budget and our spend and what things get done and what things don't get done. That is a position which the executive has taken, and that will be the position.
Well, it could reverse it.
I'm aware until the end. Well, you know, I think that given that parties entered this mandate with a commitment in their manifesto, I don't see that being reversed, Stephen, but there are consequences. You've spelt them out. There are consequences for the capital budget, which I make available to departments and for the priorities that we set. There is an infrastructural problem that is going to have to be dealt with.
So if it's not water charges, where would you suggest we get the money from?
Well, it then has to come from the capital money, which is available for schools, hospitals, roads and all of the other things, or else a decision has to be made that it will be done more slowly than people would like to see it be being done. But, you know, those are choices which have to be made.
And which choice would you make at the moment?
Well, the choice which I have got to defend the executive's position on this I know what the sums add up to, and all I'm saying to you is that we've got a number of options. We've ruled out one option. That means we've got to work within the existing budget and decide what priorities we wish to set for that.
Minister, thank you very much.